On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we preview the Bears matchup against the Rams, we give you everything to know about NFL's Week 7, and we do a top 5 sports broadcasters in the modern era. Without further ado, let's get right into it. Welcome into 23's The Mic, everyone. It is Friday, October 23rd on this rainy afternoon in Chicago. I'm your host, Nadim. You can find me at NadimN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on Twitter. Follow the show at 23's The Mic on Instagram and Twitter. We have a great show for you today. We'll be going over the Bears and Rams, kind of previewing that game, giving the key matchups, see where the Bears can kind of have the edge against the stout Rams team. We have a bunch of Week 7 matchups. Finally, a good slate of games. We've been kind of lackluster in that department in the NFL. And we have a Thursday night recap. Yesterday had the Eagles and the Giants in an interesting game as well. NFC least for sure, according to Skip Bayless. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do a fun little thing. We're going to rank the top sports broadcasters in the modern era. So starting from, you know, this century, basically. Nothing crazy, nothing, none of these like super, super old broadcasters or announcers that we don't really know of in today's day and age. Unless you're a broadcast major or something. It's been a busy week. I just want to remind everybody that the elections are coming up, the general election for the presidency, for all of politics, and it's really important that we, as Americans, exercise our right to vote, exercise our right for free speech and influence in this democracy. So go ahead and make sure that you registered to vote and you vote before not this coming Tuesday, but the next Tuesday after that is the election day. So make sure you get your votes in before then, whether it's vote in by mail or going to the polls, making sure you're socially distanced. I know in Illinois, in Chicago, we're kind of ramping up some of the restrictions all over again because of the rise in cases. So want to make sure that everyone's staying safe out there. Make sure you're protecting yourself and your family from all the coronavirus and the diseases that's going around, especially in flu season. You know how it can be. And as the weather gets cold, I think Illinois had our last nice day of the year yesterday. It was like 73 degrees all throughout the day. Today it's rainy in the 60s, and then by tonight it's going to drop to the 40s. So that'll be kind of fun. And yeah, Halloween's coming up, so you know, we're looking forward to that. We have sports. We have the World Series between the Rays and Dodgers. There's Game 3 of the World Series tonight. So a lot of things to look forward to in terms of watching stuff on TV, but make sure you bundle up. It's cold outside now, and you know, it can be in Chicago especially. New York doesn't get that cold. New York's lowest it gets to is like 30, 40 degrees, whereas Chicago, that's like the staple of weather from October through like April, basically. And that's kind of unfortunate. So last night we had an interesting day in TV because we had the elections debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And then we had the Eagles and the Giants game. And it was kind of a mess to see because the NFC East is just a dumpster fire right now, straight up. And as well, you could say the same thing for the presidential debate because two old men in their 70s going at each other and trying to influence people to give them power over one of the largest powers in the world. Kind of sad when you put it that way, you know, when you actually like objectively look at this from an outside perspective. It's kind of sad that we only have our two candidates are like, I don't know, 70 something year olds. But this Thursday night game, it was the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. I thought the Eagles had this in the bag before the game. I thought Carson Wentz would have a great game, which he did. He had 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. He also threw a terrible interception. I feel like he's running for his life on every single play. The Eagles beat the Giants in this one, 21-20. It came down to the wire. The Eagles were down 20-16 on the last possession, and Carson Wentz finds Boston Scott for a game-winning touchdown in the corner of the end zone, which is kind of cool. And the funniest play in this game was an 80-yard touchdown run by Daniel Jones. And if you haven't seen this, go check it out because Daniel Jones has it's a read option play where he keeps the ball and he just blows past everybody, wide open, no one's by him, easy touchdown, and he trips at the 15-yard line. And it blew up social media yesterday. It's probably the funniest play maybe I've ever seen just because it was a give-me touchdown, a walk-in touchdown. And at the last second, he trips on his own. On his own, like the turf monster tripped him up. No player was in the area. No Eagles defender was around. And he trips on his own, and he falls, and it was just hilarious. So the Eagles now take control of the NFC East with a 2-4-1 record over the Dallas Cowboys, who have, I think, a 2-4 record. I'm shocked that there's actually going to be a winner that comes out of this division and goes to the playoffs, because all these teams are so abysmal. Carson Wentz literally is running for his life on every play. He doesn't have any help from his offensive line, from his receivers. Travis Fulgham's actually turning out to be quite nice, but Dallas Goedert's hurt. And Dallas Goedert is the backup to Zach Ertz, who's also hurt. And I think Zach Ertz might be done for the year. The defense is whatever. So I wish the Bears could play the NFC East more. That'd be racking up more wins. Speaking of the Bears, Monday Night Football matchup against the Los Angeles Rams. And I talked about this a little bit on last week's show. The Los Angeles Rams are still one of those teams that we don't know much about, I feel. We're looking for their identity. They're 4-2, and they're very much in the hunt. And at times they look great, and at times they look terrible. And last week they played the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football, and they looked atrocious. And Jared Goff is one of those guys that he had a great sophomore season, was in MVP conversations, led his team to the Super Bowl in his third season. And this Rams offense is high-powered with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Daryl Henderson, like the offensive line, Sean McVay's scheme, the defense, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. But for some reason, they're not able to just click and become one as a unit and kind of bulldoze their way through like many predicted they would. And the Bears, on the other hand, are a completely defensive-minded team. Defense first. Offense, I think, is ranked 27th in the league right now. A terrible performance on offense. But my key matchups in this game, and some things that the Bears fans especially need to be concerned and worry about, is the Bears O-line versus the Rams D-line. Aaron Donald is a monster of a problem. The Bears O-line has been terrible this year. The run game has not gotten going, and I don't think or expect the run game to get going this year or this week against the Rams. Another huge matchup is going to be the Bears defensive backs, Kyle Fuller, Jalen Johnson, those boys who have been, you know, holding it down for the most part. They rank as the number one and number two in Pro Football Focus in terms of coverage, and they're going against the Rams receiver core that features, like I said, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp, you know, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett. So a lot of weapons that the Rams have on offense. It'll be interesting to see if the Bears can continue this performance. And I think they will, especially in these Sunday night, Monday night games. This Bears defense we've seen over the years has been able to carry the load for and compensate for the offense being so lackluster. And I continue and expect this to be the same in this case. I think the key matchup, as I stated, is that going to be that O-line versus the Rams D-line. But if the Bears can get pressure up front, I think I'm seeing a Khalil Mack game in this. Roquan Smith had 7 tackles last week, and he kind of proclaimed and gave a shout-out to all his haters on social media. And I'm just saying, like, let's continue. Like, this is the first real couple games that we've seen Roquan put together in 3 years. Let's keep that same energy and keep it going before we're starting to call out our haters. And let's continue to be a beast in the middle of the linebacking core. I expect the Bears to win this game by a final score of 24-14, with the defense causing 2 turnovers. On 2 interceptions and 1 fumble recovery, and maybe one of those goes for 6. Speaking of 6, that's actually the over-under in this game. The spread for this game is -6 to the Rams, and I think the Bears will definitely cover. I feel like it's interesting because if this was any other team, I would be more worried. But because the Bears have owned the Rams in recent years, I think they will continue to do that. They've won their last 6 out of 8 against the Rams, so I think they'll continue to do that. Elsewhere across the league, we have some really good matchups this week. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Tennessee Titans. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense, number one in the league. Ben Roethlisberger, Chase Claypool, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson is back this week, and James Washington against the Titans, who have been in shootouts as of late. They destroyed the Buffalo Bills, but last week against the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, they were in that overtime game. Derrick Henry is going to have his toughest challenge. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. Seattle and Arizona, this is an awesome matchup to me because it's Russell Wilson with the trash defense versus Kyler Murray with also a trash defense, especially with Chandler Jones out. But Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. He has Pete Carroll. Kyler Murray kind of, he is the lifeline for this Arizona offense. So we'll see how that works for them. I like Seattle in this game, but I'm going to take Arizona to cover. And then we have two big revenge games in this week. We have Jimmy Garoppolo going back to New England for the first time against the New England Patriots. It's really hard because I like New England in this game for sure. But the fact of the matter is that Cam Newton has not looked as good as he did at the beginning of this year. The Patriots are -2.5 in this game. I expect the 49ers to win this game and carry their momentum to another victory. And then we have the Teddy Bridgewater returning to New Orleans. I think the Saints win that game. And I think Drew Brees is going to have his first really good game of the year in the terms of the eye test. He's had really good stats. Alvin Kamara has bailed him out some. Last week, he had a wide-open Jared Cook touchdown, and the coaching of the Los Angeles Chargers kind of helped New Orleans get back and win that game, even though they were down so much. But I think this is the first game that Drew Brees will get off the old man bandwagon and show that he's got it. We also have Tampa Bay versus Las Vegas Raiders. I like Tampa Bay in this game a lot. I think Tom Brady is getting into the groove with not only his offense, but he's also getting into a groove with his defense, and the offense and defense are working with each other in a tandem. And don't be surprised if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers end up being one of the better teams with both offenses and defenses clicking, as we saw the Green Bay Packers do that for the first few weeks of the season. And then we have the Browns and Bengals. Joe Mixon is out for this game. It's funny because this is a very, very interesting position for Baker Mayfield. I feel like he was in the same position in week two. He got blown out 38-6 by the Ravens in week one. And then the next week he came back and threw up a great performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, he just got blown out 38-7 by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Browns did one point better in that game. But this is another. Here's the thing: the Browns are 4-2. This is one of the best starts they've had. Just a bad loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's probably the best defense they'll face if you look at their schedule. It's not going to mean much in terms of the overall. Or it shouldn't mean much in terms of these players' minds and the overall aspect of the trajectory that this team is going to be on. I expect the Browns to win this game, especially with no Joe Mixon for the Bengals. And I think Baker Mayfield, with those bruised ribs and all. It's funny, the bruised ribs are really infecting the Browns right now because Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, and Baker Mayfield all are suffering or are hampered with rib issues. Austin Hooper is out for this game with appendicitis. So I like the Browns in this game. It's an interesting matchup. You know, the Raiders were actually scheduled to be Sunday night with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then that got switched for, I didn't get a full explanation, but I think it may have been due to COVID reasons because the Raiders have their offensive lineman back from COVID, and the Cardinals and Seahawks are going to be on Sunday night. So that'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a great week of NFL football for week 7. Hopefully, we're hoping we have some good matchups that are really kind of exciting. And then to wrap up this week's episode, I wanted to do something a little different, a little rankings. We have a lot of QB rankings. This week's QB rankings were probably the most anticlimactic out of the QB rankings this year because there wasn't much change. There was a lot of bottom tier changes, but nothing crazy in the top. So I wanted to do a rankings, and I figured that we listen to sports. And for me, like growing up, and even now, sports calls, the announcers, the commentators, the impact of the moment, it does so much. If you have a bad announcer or commentator over like a great moment, it doesn't really simmer as much in your mind as one of the greater moments that you've seen. And also, a great announcer can influence a small play so much so to the point where it becomes a great play, just in your mind, in memory, in sports history. So I wanted to do the top 5 announcers in the modern era for sports. So from this century, basically. I didn't want to include anything from before because it's kind of like It's really subjective lift. This is really based off my opinions. I wanted to give an honorable mentions little shout out to our boy Len Casper, who is the color comment or the play-by-play of the Chicago Cubs. Len's been with the Cubs since 2005, and I've loved him ever since he came because he provided so much juice and flow to the Cubs games that I was watching when I was a little kid. Jim Nance, who is the CBS main play-by-play guy. He's got a great big game voice. And I think there's a couple guys that have, and we'll get into that more in the list, but there's a couple guys that have a great big game voice. Like when you hear their voice, you know that it's an exciting game and that this game means something. So Jim Nance usually does the top CBS game every week, and then he does the Super Bowl and the playoff games as well. So Jim Nance, and then some guy that's really underrated, Joe Tessitore, who was the Monday Night Football guy last year, or the past couple years with Booger McFarland. And I know he got a bad rap, especially with Booger being there and kind of not being the best. But Joe Tessitore's got a great big game voice, especially for college football. He did a lot of college football games before. And Kenny Albert, who has been a Fox regular for baseball and football. He does, I think, the third, I want to say, Fox game every week. And he used to do a lot of Cubs games for Fox Saturday Baseball. And I just remember him a lot. At number five, I have one of the classics in all of sports. His name is Martin Tyler. He's in soccer games for the World Cup. He's in soccer games for the EPL. All around the world, he is the most classic name in all of sports. He had the famous Aguero game-winning goal in the Premier League that Manchester City won their first Premier League in like 30 years. And he's definitely my favorite English color commentator. At number four, I have Matt Vasgersian. This guy is one of the most exciting, probably the most exciting, if not for the number two guy on this list. But yeah, one of the more exciting names in sports commentators, especially when it comes to playoffs. He does the MLB playoffs. He does the MLB. He's now the MLB Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN play-by-play guy. The David Bodie walk-off, if you remember, 2016, the Cubs NLDS against the San Francisco Giants. He covered all of that. And he's just really exciting. The Yankees and the Cleveland Indians, he did the Lindor Grand Slam, which is one of the best calls in the last few years. So he's a really excitable commentator. Love his voice. Love his passion. And he does a lot of work for the MLB Network as well. Mike Breen is at number three for me. He coined the phrase bang. He does all the NBA Finals games. Not all of them. He does the ESPN ones. He does a lot of the primetime matchups on ESPN, ABC. So he's really excitable as well. I think it's like one of those things where when the Bulls or someone plays on ABC and you get him as a commentator, you're really excited. I just remember all the big shots the Ray Allen shot in game six in the NBA Finals to tie the game against the Spurs, the Derrick Rose buzzer beater, the LeBron James buzzer beater. Like, there's a lot that he's done and covered in terms of classic games that we've seen over the last 20 years. Gus Johnson is number two. He's my favorite college football play-by-play guy for sure. He does all the Fox Oklahoma games, basically. He's awesome. He used to do the NFL. He used to cover college basketball, and he was really excitable in those as well. And he's got the most exciting voice for sure. I remember he used to do Madden games, and I loved those games. I think it was like Madden 10, 11, and 12. And he just brings the plays that he calls and the games that he calls to life in a way that no one else really does. He encapsulates the fans and the audience in a way that he comes off as kind of like a fan in his own right. You know, like, he's really exciting and he's just really loud, and it kind of gives you the same reaction that you would give to big plays, even though he's really into Sam Ehlinger, which sucked, but we won that game anyways. And number one, and this guy gets a lot of hate, and I don't understand it, but he's Joe Buck. He is the best play-by-play announcer. Every single time I hear his voice, I just know it's a big game. He's the one person that I would want. And even before the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, I would always like want him to be the guy to call the Cubs World Series run. He did it. He had a great call for the Cubs World Series. Goes down in history. He's had so many classic calls. He got a lot of hate before. I think it was 2013 where he made a change in his voice. He used to be very monotone before 2013. And then he made a change to be more excitable And ever since then, he has been great. He had the Ortiz game time grand slam in the ALCS in 2013 for the Boston Red Sox. You can say the Diggs touchdown that was the Minneapolis Miracle against the New Orleans Saints, the Cubs World Series run from the NLCS, the Montero Grand Slam, the Russell home runs, the Rizzo home runs, the Contreras home runs, the win of the pennant, every World Series hit, you know, and then, of course, the final out. Just a great, great moment. Like, when you hear his voice, you just know it's a big game for sure. He's the top big game guy. And also, he's just a great guy. If you listen to his interviews on Pardon My Take, if you listen to his own podcast, he's a great dude. And he's just a chill, nice guy. And he's even a Cardinals fan. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's a Cardinals fan, and I still, you know, enjoy his voice. And hopefully when the Bears win the Super Bowl, it's on Fox. And I always hope that, like, one day that the Bears go into the playoffs, because the Fox usually has, like, the NFC. So when the Bears go into the NFC Championship, maybe this year, maybe. Maybe we keep getting our expectations higher and higher. I was really off on the Bears like earlier a couple weeks ago, but now I think I'm back on. And I feel like I'm going to get my expectations shattered by some bad play by the offense. But yeah, Joe Buck's number one on this list. Let me go know what you guys think and who your favorite commentators are. If I missed any, I'll put it up on my Instagram. So comment below the post and let me know what you guys think. So thank you for listening to today's episode of 23's and Mike. Follow the show at 23's and Mike on Instagram and Twitter. Looking forward to a great year. Hey, Big Ten football is back this week too. Tomorrow you have Ohio State, Nebraska. You got Michigan and Minnesota, so a couple good games. And it's nice to finally see college football getting back in. I think the Big 12 is back after a bye week last week. Oklahoma's taking on TCU, so it'll be fun to see. Thank you guys so much for listening today. This is 23's The Mic. Love you guys, and let's hope for a Bears victory on Monday.